This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Back in my hot seat, I have an awesome guest. Ashley Monraj is the Chief Technology Officer at Pivotal Technologies. That's PVOTAL.TECH, Pivotal.Tech. They're doing amazing things for secure, hyperscalable cloud infrastructure, platform engineering. They've got fintech clients, government clients, e-commerce, large events. It's exciting, and I'd love to learn more of what you guys are up to and how you're pivoting with Pivotal Tech. Ashley, welcome back to the hot seat.
Thank you, Gary. So basically, to recap, in the past, we're building specifically for large enterprise, working on baseline infrastructures as an infrastructure as code, advanced microservices, pure containers, everything really dedicated to big in order to reduce the support so that you only have basically Pivotal and then your large cloud provider. And we've been cross-integrating all of those to reduce the headaches, the update, the problem that you have. And we're packaging into one banner. That's kind of, they're calling it platform engineering now in Q4 of this year. We're intending to integrate all of those. So you have like reinstantiate all the project shelter, all the YAM, all the shared VPC, all the firewalls, all the clusters. You get it all and you instantiate in a cleaner way for each of your business lines. And you get an opinionated version of everything secured so that you don't need tons of third parties. You don't need a third party Okta. You don't need a third party Datadog. We're packaging it all under, you don't need a Circle CI. It's like either open source or us or directly GCP services that we enhance to provide the business features required by the large group. The objective is to get more performance, better digital transformation, and basically gain our expertise, because that was our big issue. Is it's very complex to cross-configure everything. It's complex to, for example, now that you have different licensing models from Redis, from Terraform, from others, you want to have a partner that regenerates and provides an easy way to redo or modify your current infrastructure. And so that's why we've kind of changed a bit our model, because we focused a lot on infrastructure as code and regeneration and be rapid in updates, so that large governmental providers, they don't have to take care of the headaches of, let's say you have problems with Node.js, you have problems with Flutter, Go, Rust. We do provide that stability to those big groups. And we think that it's a really big value add, because instead of trying to detect what you should do correctly, we provide you prescriptively what has to be done. And if you have to move, we provide you the way to migrate as well. And it's basically, that's why we want to be a helper for very large groups in order to achieve their entire objectives. And I think that pretty much answers the big picture of where we're going. And of course, we're probably going to talk a bit about AI afterwards.
Yeah. And did you guys coined the phrase low ops? Can you talk about that for a minute or two?
Yeah. So instead of trying to support way more things, way more languages, way more platforms, the idea of low ops is to reduce and provide a better cross-configured baseline. And that's what allows what we've been doing in platform engineering now, is you get basically one opinionated way to do all the service account fallback and deep linking between the projects, so that you get the least privilege at each step. Get the proper way of instantiating VMs that are just Docker containers that are self-upgraded every week. Same for Kubernetes. The idea of low ops is reduce the number of operation steps that you have to do, and your database are auto-migrated. You have init sidecars, you have service accounts for secret, you have service mesh. So the idea of low ops is you have to care less, and we provide you the interfaces to do only what you need to do in an opinionated fashion for the language that we want to support. And our platform engineering is also based on all of those concepts. And so you get, as a development group, if you use the intended method that we want you to use for the platform engineering, You only edit the repos and the configs, and everything works, and you have way less headaches. And if there's a problem or a security problem, we're going to be providing you the entire way to patch from CI to CD to deployment to where in the cluster the configs needs to be modified to be well supported. Basically, provide you the entire pipeline to either have us, GCP, or open source as a place.
Actually, that is phenomenal. And so less human engagement to get millions of transactional capabilities for a SaaS offering off the ground quickly with your cloud infrastructure platform engineering. It sounds brilliant. And you had said some things about AI. You know, we're hearing so much with ChatGPT and Microsoft, Bing and Google's Bard or Gemini now, and so many consumers are eating this up, and so many employees are trusting to put data out there on these platforms. I have two questions on AI. One is where AI fits in platform engineering, but also we'll start backwards. How safe is it with these large language models to put our data out in their data lakes?
So first, let's try to answer the second part of your question. So we believe at Pivotal that you should mostly try to rely on your cloud providers' models and data storage policies, because as much as, let's say, OpenAI provides interfaces, it crosses network and infrastructure boundaries. It doesn't guarantee, for example, for a European client, where the data goes, and so it crosses world boundaries in terms of networking, which is not great. So we would rather advise large companies to use their cloud providers in the zone for which it's instantiated. I know even, for example, Google Cloud is a big one we're using. They have one big region in Europe and one big region in the US. So that's not great, but it's improving. So the situation is getting more localized all the time for each of the large language models that you're using. And the second big part, I think, where people are making mistakes is you shouldn't think that your Google or Amazon or the very big ones in terms of client-facing large language models, the client side is still very much so progressing. And we don't want to make mistakes as companies. So it's one thing to try to provide information that helps the client, but it's another thing as a corporation to allow it to perform actions when it is hallucinating. So our big objective as Pivotal for those models was to provide it for, like, let's say, public website or employees, and reduce to the maximum hallucinations through a concept that maybe you might have heard or not, that is called RAG, which is retrieval augmented generation. And we're enhancing the data of a large language model with the data of a company for either public consumption, public website, LLM. Basically answers basic questions or advanced questions on only the company. It doesn't leverage a large language model, so the model falls back to I don't know for those cases, and same for employees. And so we've been focusing on those two areas. We don't have a very big public deployed one, but we're working internally on ourselves and Pivotal or with other clients on those large internal company that enhances the performance of the employees. And so they don't have to, like, let's say, go to Confluence or go to GitHub or go to those different platforms, and you have one direct general in your internal platform that does answers all your big questions about your either your clients or your specific data for your specific business lines, because the data is currently isolated per business line. So let's say 10 business line for a company. Because you still need some isolation even within a company. And so that's why we've been focusing on those two areas, make sure it works well before trying to go client, because hallucinations are really not good for corporations.
Is this something to do with fact checking of data and data analysis by the AI? So it's kind of spitting out some wrong information. Tell us about hallucinations for AI. I haven't heard that phrase until you brought it up, which is exciting. So our viewers and listeners may or may not have learned about this. If not, we're going to learn something new.
So hallucinations is when you ask a large language model a question that it wasn't trained on before. And instead of providing a sensible response, it basically makes up as it goes an answer and provides you very confidently a completely wrong answer. A good way to check for this is If you use, for example, a power, let's say 21.5 to the power of 1.15, and it doesn't use a calculator fallback, let's say you use that on Gemini Pro. I think OpenAI uses a calculator so it answers correctly, but otherwise you will see the models completely hallucinate because they haven't been trained on advanced math. And so they rely on, human-based calculations in order to perform those. So that's an example of real hallucination. And what we're trying to do with the new RAG that are more than naive, they call it advanced RAG, which is advanced retrieval augmented. It uses the data of a company, tokenizes it, and provides it as an add-on to the model when it tries to retrieve your company information. And so we provide multiple data sets for those companies, a proper way to enhance, and we tell them how to put PDFs, how to put raw data in order to have it for their employees. And so when you ask it questions about your employees, your clients, it serves as a search aggregate and provides links internally. So we're focusing on really improving the usefulness of AIs for employees right now. We think that it's the way to go before focusing on clients, because when you're doing that enhancement, you can there's basically a re-rank that happens on the answers, and that reduces the hallucinations that the models are doing. And we think that's the number one enemy to combat for large language models is not only information accuracy, but prevent the model from providing wrong responses. It has to be more reliable for enterprise use.
It's brilliant. And I remember Isaac Asimov and the rules for robots, right, and their behavior. We don't have a standard on AI generating that I'm aware of, truthful statements. It just does what it does and it knows what it knows. And like you said, I didn't even know it could hallucinate. I thought it was just making some simple errors, but it's
No, correct. And actually, that's the area of research that we're focusing on long term. So we don't have a huge AI team, but we want to focus on doing things right, leveraging cloud providers because we're platform engineers, and not focus more on the pure AI side. But we've been having tidbits and enhancements on the applicative enhancements of AI. And that's one of the big areas of research. We call it modular RAG. And that's exactly what you're saying. It's the capability to have the model with LangChain think about what it should be answering, define the steps, and then allowing it, depending on the security, to perform it or not. And so, for example, multi-hop RAG and the recent techniques from last month, they're all focusing on that. Try to figure out from a query of an answer of either an employee or public website or a client eventually, what you should do, retrieve, think, do the operations, and then provide the answer to the client or perform multiple actions. But that entire flow needs to be, QA'd, improved, made hardened. We're not there yet, but it's the objective of a long-term progression in terms of AI is really reduce hallucination, improve the step-by-step, improve the security of the LangChain is really where we're going, because that's really where the value is. You ask the model, for example, on your platform, do the what are my usual plat? Let's say you're on the news website. It would you ask it, do you have any very re relevant news that I'm used to, and summarize it into four paragraphs for me. So take all the information from the different sources, look at your preferences. Perform the different steps of summarization and then reaggregate it. That's where we're going, and that's I think where there's a lot of value for AI is synthesizing the different steps for different people, and also have the security, because it's one thing to have an LLM, but it's another thing to allow it to work in a corporate environment. And so we're figuring out that part in terms of how to secure it, but it's not completely there yet, because the applicative end is still being figured out, is still being improved, and the security side has to leverage the AIs now. And so you can't basically do it in infra like we're doing, for example, load balancers and applicative queries for the services where, so let's say you use a model and you ask it, use my previous context in order to provide me an answer on the stock that I mentioned earlier. So if usually when you have a query like that, you're trying to secure it relative to it, but it's referencing the context that was already passed before. So you can't really secure those qu types of queries without taking into account the context, so the memory of a model that or your session. And so it has to be secured after having resolved what the client meant. And so we're leveraging that way as well, security after having resolved what the client wants. You can't secure it directly at the at the infrastructure level like we do for regular client queries. And so that's why that part is still in motion, but it's important for the public to understand that yes, it's coming, but first we're trying to enhance the performance of employees. We're trying to make sure that it works well. We're, I think, a ways off before the Jensen claims, it's going to replace all developers. I don't think we're there yet.
Actually, where is Pivotal taking us in this platform engineering for cloud? Where are we going this year, and where should our viewers and listeners go to learn more about what you guys are up to?
So we're planning for Q4 of this year for now, or maybe it would be Q1 next year. But to have on the GCP marketplace a way to standardize or deploy your entire infrastructure up to down to the Kubernetes clusters and have a standard way of seeing what is being deployed, where it is deployed, just define in your GitHub where your repositories for your developers are, and then we provide a standard way to deploy, maintain, migrate, manage authentication, manage the load balancers, manage the logging, tracing. And one of the key elements that we do there is called code generation for mainly Go and Rust. That allows you to gain the really cohesive part of, let's say, we upgrade the version of Redis or we upgrade the version of a module of a cloud provider. The code generation would regenerate all the services that consume that in order to be all be updated. In a matter of minutes or hours. So the idea that we reduce the support set, but then the code gen reduces your effort of maintenance, of upgrade and security, because you're kind of pushing everything into the code gen or the deployment. And it was one of the core things with database migration and event sourcing. It was our core methods to achieve our goal of reducing and achieving low ops, like we mentioned before, where there's way less human operations in for production. Basically, we're giving now more as from when that product will be released, the secret sauce that allows us to be more secure. But now it also provides you a way, because the security is part of operations. If you change from Redis, let's say the contract changes, we provide you a way of going back to Redis OSS, or if you're using Terraform Enterprise Cloud, to go back to Terraform Enterprise on-premise. We want to provide companies more modularity, because we didn't have that in the past, but now you have like contract changes every year in terms of pricing. We have been change seeing that 2, 3 years ago, companies completely changing their pricing scheme. And as a company, you don't want to go bankrupt or not be able to afford your tools that you were using before. And that capability of completely changing through code gen the support to go from Terraform Enterprise Cloud to Terraform Enterprise on-premise, or going from Redis Advanced to Redis OSS or Terraform OSS, I think is a critical capability. And we're going to see, it's not just us, there's multiple other groups focusing on that part, because it's becoming not only impossible to maintain in terms of security, it becomes impossible to maintain in terms of contract as well.
That makes so much sense. Ashley, is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners?
I think the security problem is also a function of your choices. And reducing the amount of choices is really critical in order to improve the stability and the security of what you do. And that was one of the core things that we saw in terms of low ops. For example, not using tons of Node.js libraries from tons of different parts and using only Flutter, where there are way less libraries, but it's way better maintained. exposes you to a lot less monitoring because the quality of libraries, it's just smaller footprint makes it better in terms of security. And that's what we've been doing at scale. But now that everything is cross-integrated, it's easier to package all of this under one banner. That for now intends to be a GCP marketplace app, which is how companies are going to be able to instantiate it. I think is the big picture. We really want to have everyone else benefit from the methodology and benefit from that product that everyone can, if they want to have GCP for now, it's the only one that's really cross-integrated, but we want to have other cloud, big cloud providers such as AWS and Azure. But the big control plane that instantiates and manages everything, the top level will be in GCP, but then your clusters and your buckets and everything, all the microservices, all the ICOs can be in different cloud providers. But for now, the top level baseline, we don't plan to have it in others than Google Cloud.
Got it.
And
Oh, go ahead.
so the idea on our end was, we don't want people to focus on SaaS, particularly big organizations. We want them to have a better management of their own things. And that's why we focused on them being able to manage better their own cloud and consider their own cloud like their own premise and have all the private networking, all the best practices in terms of identity-aware proxies, and all those requirements be better integrated so that if you start in the cloud, you don't have to think about all the problems that you had on premise. And that's the kind of the two objectives. One is allow large organizations to rethink and restructure upon the baselines we provide. Or if you're a new group, start from our baseline and have 1 week to have everything up and running and have good baselines for your backups, your authentication, all your service accounts, your Kubernetes. And you don't need tons and tons and tons of consultants to tell you what are the good practices. And so that's why on our end, it was more provide a good code baseline. And then now it was not only consulting, but like kind of packaging all under one banner.
That's fantastic. Ashley Munraj, you are the Chief Technology Officer at Pivotal Technologies. You are helping customers in fintech, government, e-commerce, large events, anybody who needs to scale fast in the cloud, hyperscalable cloud infrastructure platform engineering at pvotal.tech. Folks, if you need to scale, this is the company to partner with right away.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio. With your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.